Blog Talk Radio.
Anointing, fall on me. 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 Amen, amen. Good morning. Good morning, good morning. This is World of Faith Outreach Ministry. Pastor Kimberly Foss, amen. Salisbury, North Carolina. Amen. We're going to get right on to the point this morning. God had dealt with me this morning on what to give his people. Amen. He told me, and so many times we have talked about this, but he began to deal with me specifically with love. And I don't have to give you no scripture on love, because everybody know that God, you know, told us to love. Remember John 3:16 said, "For God so loved the world that whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." And that was one of the things that God did, that he gave his only begotten son, who is our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So I don't have to give a scripture on love, because God already told us that we're supposed to love one another. Matter of fact, one of his commandments is that we love one another. Amen. He said the way he loved us. Amen. And he even told us to love our enemies. Amen. Glory be to God. He even told us if they're hungry, amen, to feed them. If they're naked, he told us to give them water. He told us if they're thirsty, give them drink. So we already know that's lined up with God, because even the Bible tells that God is love. And those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. That means that you got to worship God, amen, in the spirit. And that means in the spirit of him, his Holy Spirit. Not your spirit, nobody else's spirit, but God's spirit. And you got to be truthful, amen. That means you got to be real, amen. You got to be real with God first, real with yourself, and real with others, amen. That means you got to be truthful, amen. There's no lying, amen. There's no in-between. There's no backbite. There's no sugarcoating, amen. There's no respect of person, but it's just real. I mean, you just deal with it as it is. And so a lot of people, they don't want that agape love. That agape love is the unconditional love, and that's the love that God told us that we're supposed to have as being Christians. Once we give our life over to Christ, we're supposed to have that agape love. Agape, unconditional. There's nothing, if you don't love me, amen, I still have to love you, amen. Glory be to God. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, they don't want to love you not unless you love them. And that's that filial love. That's that worldly love. If you love me, I love you. If you hate me, I hate you. But God, his love is unconditional. Amen. Glory be to God. See, a lot of times people, you know, God is a forgiving God. Amen. His love is unconditional. Amen. That means he don't put conditions on his love as we put conditions on our love with other people. God said he don't count slackness as men count slackness. Amen. See, God's ways ain't our ways, and his thoughts is not our thoughts. And the Bible said, lean not to your own understanding, that he can do anything above and abundantly that we even ask or think. So when it comes to love, we Christians, we have to really, really love. Amen. We got to go past our flesh. We have to crucify it and tell the flesh to get into subjection. Amen. To the Spirit of God. Amen. But God told me that love, he told us that his word said that he commanded us to love one another. A command is a direct order. Amen. And a direct order, that means it comes from God. Amen. It don't come from man, but it comes from God. I mean, it comes from the head, the one that's sitting up on the throne, the one that made us, who simply and wonderfully made us after his own image, after his own likeness, amen. The one who died for us, the one who shed his blood for us, amen. He gave us a direct order. A command is a direct order, amen, from God. And a lot of times, we as being Christians, we take that love as being that somebody trying to make us love somebody. We're not trying to make you love anybody, but the word of God says that we have to love one another, amen. And that's one of his commandments. That's one of his direct orders, amen. That word is God. He said, if you don't love, you don't know him. You don't know God. If you can't love one another, you don't have God's spirit, you don't have his DNA, amen. If you don't love one another, despite, amen, he said, whatever your brother do, you got to forgive him 7 times, 70 a day, amen. It does not matter how many times that he mistreats you or falsely accuses you or wrongfully does you, you still have to love them. You still have to forgive. And one thing about love, it comes with forgiveness. Amen. You know, one complements the other. You can't do one without the other. You can't love somebody, but you don't forgive them. You can't forgive somebody, but you don't love them. Amen. Because one complements the other. They go hand in hand. Amen. They fit like a glove. Amen. That means you got to put them on. Amen. You can't do one without the other. And it's just like somebody that's going to make a cake. Amen. You put everything in it, but you leave out that little what? That baking powder that makes the cake rise. You put everything else in the cake, well, it does not rise. It goes flat when you're making it homemade. And so that's what a lot of people do. They leave out something. The Bible said a little leaven leaven whole up. One thing can mess up the whole thing, what you're trying to do. That's why God told us, amen, that we have to, amen, love one another, because love fulfills the whole law of God. Now, if you love, you're going to fulfill the whole law. Because love, it don't have boundaries on it. We set boundaries on our love with people. And God began to deal with me about that this morning. Oh, yeah, we have boundaries. You know, the Bible is like a man and a woman get married. And when they marry, amen, they are devoted to each other. And the Bible said that they are bound by the law, amen, because they are married. Once they become what? One. And in God, they become one flesh. And God told us that, you know what, that no man, you know, hateth his own flesh, but he cherish it and nourish it. And see, the word of God tell us that the husband, he said, be not bitter to your wife. Amen. Because you know what? He said, you know, he loved the church, and the wife is like a church. You know, that's why God looked at us as being a church, a husband and a wife, because he said that he is the husband man. And you know, God, you know, he looked at the church as being the bride. And so us as being brides or having husbands and stuff, we're supposed to love one another. And he told us, amen, that you got to love that wife like God loved the church, because he gave himself for a ransom for the church. He said, no man took my life. He said, but I laid it down. Amen. And so when God laid down his life, amen, for the church, amen, because he loved it so much, that means he gave up his own life. Just for us. He came and he gave up, amen, his own will for the Father. He said, you know what? He said, to be thy will. He said, you know, let this cup pass. Amen. But it wasn't God's will for the cup to pass. Amen. So a lot of times when we are going through things and we want things to pass, amen, it's not God's will for us, amen, to not go through nothing. It's not God's will for us not to have trials and tribulations. Those are to help us grow. They're supposed to make us stronger in God. They're supposed to draw us closer to God, amen. And your love will be tested, amen, just like Abraham's love was tested, amen, for his son Isaac, amen, when he had, amen, to go, and God told him to take him up there and sacrifice him. But you know, God was so good, he wasn't going to allow Abraham to sacrifice his son. He told him, he said, Abraham, there's a ram in the bush, right when he was getting ready to sacrifice his son. Now, that's what you call obedience. Now, we won't sacrifice the only thing, amen, that we love in God. And remember, at that time, Isaac was the only son of Abraham. And so we have to remember, too, as us being Christians, that we're going to have some sacrifices that we're going to have to make. Sometimes your love gonna have to be sacrificed. You have to sacrifice it for your children. You have to sacrifice it, amen, for your husband, your wife, your grandma, your aunt, your uncle, your friend, or whatever they are in your life. But it's someone that you love, amen, that you gotta sacrifice that love and show God that I love you more, God. You got to remember that God is first at all times. Amen. And we have to keep him first. And see, when you keep God first, then when your love begins to be tested, then that God knows that you're loyal to him. See, God wants us loyal to him. We're loyal to other things. You can be loyal to a husband or a wife. You can be loyal to a friend, but you've got to be loyal to God first. Amen. And so God let me know that people are not going by his direct orders. They thinking, well, the pastor want me to do this. The apostle want me to do this. The bishop want me to do it. No, God's word said that he command that you love one another. Remember what I told you. Command meaning a direct order.
Yeah.
Amen. That means there's no way around of it. You cannot get around the authority of God to love one another, because there's a direct order and it's a commandment from God and you cannot get out of it. That's just like when they go fighting in the wars and the captain or the sergeant give you a direct order. That means that's what he wants you to do. He don't want no ands, no buts, no ifs, and why I can't, why I didn't do this, and why I didn't do that. You have to do it. There's no excuse when you get a direct order. So as us being Christians, if we would love one another the way God told us to love one another, amen, there wouldn't be no isms and schisms. There wouldn't be no hate, amen. There wouldn't be no lying. There wouldn't be us talking about one another, persecuting one another, disdaining one another, defaming one another's character, amen. And we're so busybody about trying to kill somebody's character, because we don't love that person. Now, we don't want others to love them. So we want to defame them. That means we want to bring them down, amen. We want to make them infamous. We want to make them like they're bad, you know, like they ain't no good, you know. And so God began to deal with me this morning and said that we have to go back to the old landmark, which is love. He said, you know, love, amen, is what brought me up out of the grave. That's why the grave couldn't even hold his body down. He says, you know, death couldn't even have no sting. And the grave didn't even have no victory over God, because his love was so great that he rose. He said, destroy this temple. He said, and what? He could build it back in 3 days. He wasn't talking about the temple, amen, of a house or a building, but he was talking about a spiritual temple. He was talking about the body of Christ, amen, that they could not keep his body down, amen. They didn't understand why they couldn't keep him down. They couldn't understand why he rose again, but that love was so great, amen. That's why the Bible said, no greater love than this, than a man laid out his life for a friend. That's a great love, amen. That means he put himself first, amen. He left his mighty home and his glory, and he brought us a redeemed story for us to be free, for us to be reconciled back to God, the Father. Remember, the Bible said that he's the mediator between us and God. He's the one standing there making your case, pleading your judgment to God, telling him to give us another chance. Lord, have mercy on him, Father. He's sitting on the mercy seat saying, Lord, give him another chance, God. Oh, God, look, they did this right for you one time. God, maybe they'll do it again, Father. Oh, yes, thank you, Lord. See, that's how good God is. That's how much love he got for us, because the Bible says he's long-suffering. The Bible says love is long-suffering. That means it suffers long, amen. It'll go a long time with you, amen. There's no end to love, long suffering. The Bible says that it don't vomit itself, amen. It don't act unseemly, amen. It don't act out its character, amen. It don't get out of its character. That means it loves you all the time, whether you love it, when you mistreat him or you don't mistreat him. The Bible says a brother loveth at all times. That means I don't care what you say, what you do, I still love you. People that been abandoning you because of something you did, but a brother still gonna love you. They're gonna be there when everything else sees. Amen. People are all talking about you, but the brother still uplifting you, still trying to encourage you, still trying to, amen, to pray for you. That's the kind of love God wants us to have, amen. Not to put one another down, but to pray for one another, to encourage one another, to stick by one another. You are your brother's keeper, amen. We're supposed to be keepers of one another. According to Galatians, amen, 6 and 1, he said, when a brother is overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, go to him in the spirit of what? Meekness, and restore such a one. And if he receive you, you have gained that brother. Amen. You've got to try to restore. But we don't try to restore. We're going to go and go talk about them. We want to go ahead and defame their character. We want to go ahead and say they this and say they that instead of going and trying to say something in love to them in the spirit of meekness, in the spirit of humbleness like God told us. He told us a certain way to go to them. And when you got that love for them, you're going to humble yourself and go to them and tell them what thus saith the Lord. And you know, like David said, even as to my own hurt, I change if not. That means even it might end up hurting you because of what you have to say to them. It might end up breaking up your friendship. They might not like you no more. They might talk about you. They might lie on you. They might try to kill you. But because you have that love, that means you're concerned, amen. You have that agape love. You have that love of God. You're going out and witnessing to your brother, trying to restore your brother, amen, in that spirit of meekness. Amen. Then that shows, amen, that you love them. You're not trying to get a pat on the back. You're not trying to be recognized, but because that you have love. See, you don't have no motive behind it. A lot of times people want to go, well, you know, I'm the one got them back to the Lord. I'm the one that this and that and blah, blah, blah. I'm the one that if it hadn't been for me and this and that and that and that. No, God don't want us to go that route. He just want to go us to go and restore him. And let them know that I love you. And that, you know, God said, he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you even to the end of the world. We forsake God. God don't forsake us. We leave God. God don't leave us. We abandon our faith. That's what we do. When things don't go our way, or we feel like the fire is too hot, amen, we feel like, well, I can't take this no more. God, I don't want to do this no more. We turn to another God. Another God might be a drug. It might be alcohol. It might be a woman. It might be a man. Whatever it is, amen, it might be gambling, amen. It might be lying. It might be cussing. It might be in witchcraft. But whatever we turn to from the real God, amen, let me tell you something. You have abandoned him, amen. And, you know, we don't have no excuses. We want to have excuses why we did this and why we did this. The Bible said, thou art out with the excuse, oh man. Your spiritual man don't have no excuse with God. He had told us everything that we're supposed to do when we're going through something. It's all in this word. As well, if you're going through the spirit of heaviness, he said, put on the garment of praise. That means when you're feeling heavy, you feel like, Lord, I just can't do this no more. He told him, get up and praise him. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. Then he told us, amen, that we ought to always pray and not faint. That means don't give up. Pray. Amen. Then he told us, he said, after you've done all you can do, he said, now stand and see the salvation of the Lord. That means you done prayed, you done been faithful to God, you done did everything he told you to do, you done fasted, and now just wait on him. Because he said, the vision tarry, you wait. Then he also told you, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That means all, amen, the conflictions of the devil, all the fiery dots of the devil. He then told you to put on the arm. Don't take the arm off, but put it on. He gave us an armor to put on, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. Then he told us, he said, the sword, which is the word of God. He said, our feet supposed to be shod with a preparation of the gospel of Christ. Amen. Our feet is supposed to be walking in Christ. Amen. The Bible says, amen, that you know what? He orders the steps of a good man. And when you're a good man, God is ordering your steps. He's a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. Amen. And God, he will make every crooked path straight. It does not matter what man say about you. It's what God say about you. It does not matter what man thinks, but it's what God thinks. And God says who you are. Remember, Paul said, I'm an apostle by God, not by man. Because he was rejected by man, but he was of what? He was anointed by God. And sometimes we are anointed by God, people will reject you. They don't want to have nothing to do with you. That's because you've been chosen. They will lie on you. They will say all manner of evil against you for God's name's sake. But the Bible said, blessed are ye when they say that, amen. And then he also told us that many that live godly are going to be persecuted. Amen. He then told us, amen, that they're going to try to kill us, amen. He said, we were like sheep like through the slaughter all day long. They want to kill God's people. They want to put their mouth on them, amen. They want to tear them down. They grind on them like they were some kind of meat. Amen. And they think God don't see them. Amen. And they want to chew them up and they want to spit them out. But God said, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises up against you, thou shalt condemn. For this is the heritage for my people, saith the Lord. That's your heritage. You can condemn what Satan is trying to do. His weapon will not work. Amen. It does not matter. The weapon, he might be telling a lie, that might be one of his weapons. He might be trying to set a trap, that might be a weapon. He might be trying to get you killed, that might be a weapon. But it will not work. Amen. It will not prosper. It will go back to their own head. Remember he said, amen, in the 35th Psalm, strive with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for mine help. Draw out the spear that persecute me. Say, I am thy soul. I am thy salvation. God is your soul. He's your salvation. Amen. And God, amen, will fight against them that fight against you. It's going to return to their own head. Amen. Because the Bible said you dig one ditch, you better dig two. Because you won't fall in one of them. You don't dig ditches. The Bible says you don't laugh at another man's calamity. As he'll take it off of them and put it on you. That means you laughing at somebody else's downfall. You're sitting up there picking and wanting them to come down and wanting them to fall and stuff. God said, take it off of them and put it on you. You better be careful what you wish. That's why a lot of people don't know what they ask from God. You know, we ask God things. You know, some people say they want the patience of Job. You got to go through something. You don't know what you're asking, what Job went through. Because I don't feel like the half of it's been told in that book. I don't think that book, is the book of Job, could even tell it all what Job went through. And still had his integrity. Still held on. He said, though he slay me, yet shall I trust him. He felt like he was being killed. He, in his sickness, his health, all his children, his wife even talking crazy. But he still held his integrity. All his friends turned on him and said, Job, you must have sinned. You done did something to God. But Job was just being tested, amen, because he eschewed evil. He didn't have nothing to do with it. But God allowed the enemy, amen, which is the devil, amen, that slew foot Satan, amen, to test him, amen. God removed things from round Job so he could get to him, amen, and let him know that this man loved me. He's upright. And that's why God, he want us to prove our love to him like he proved his love to us. He died for us. He was wounded for your transgression, bruised for your iniquity. And by his stripes, he said, you are healed. See, God went through all this stuff, was made a curse for us so we wouldn't have to be a curse. He went through so many things for us. He proved his love, amen. Now, we have to prove our love. We're going to have to go through the things. We got some crosses we're going to have to bear. Everybody got a cross they're going to have to bear. You're going to have to go through something. He said to reign with him, you're going to have to suffer with him. You are partakers of Christ. Now you're going through the sufferings of Christ, being talked about, being lied on. People wanting to kill you. People wanting to destroy you. People calling you devils. People don't want you to have nothing. People trying to turn other people against you. People saying that they're with you, but when it comes to what's right and what's truthful, then they're not with you. Because they want you to color it up. They want you to sweeten it. They want you to spuse it up for them. They want you to have respect of persons for them. As long as you don't mess with me, you all right. You my friend. You my pastor. You my bishop. But when it's on something that they have to deal with you with, you're not their bishop. You're not their pastor. You get with their enemies. As this lady said, you get with their frenemies. You get with them and you begin to get on their side. You begin to talk. You begin to pick. And you begin to point out stuff on them because why you don't like what's been said to you. Now you're getting chastised. Now the shoe is on your foot and you don't want to wear it. So now you're trying to find stuff to pick, nitpick with. So you don't have to be truthful. So you don't have to be real. So you can do what you want to do. So you don't have to come to church. So you don't have to pay this and you don't have to pay that. And you don't have to do this and you don't have to do that. Honey, ain't nobody without a shoe according to God because he said, he, when you have respect a person, it is sin. Nobody can get away with nothing. It don't care if you ain't no preacher. Don't care if you ain't no deacon in the church. Don't care if you ain't no usher. You ain't no nurse. If you ain't on the choir. Whatever it is, if you still ain't nobody doing nothing in the church, it still go for you. You're not excused, because God don't have respect to person. And the Bible said after you come into the knowledge of knowing it, it's on you. You're going to be counted for it. You don't even have to be saved. For he said, if we willfully sin, there's no more sacrifice. So that means you know to do what's right. It does not matter if you're not saying you're a Christian or whatever. You still held accountable for it because you know what's right. You know to do what's right. There's no excuse for you. If that's the case, then there'd be a lot of people that would have excuses. That's why God ain't got no excuses for nobody. So much is given, much is required. Remember, I told you that last week. You want all this from God, then God's going to require a lot from you. And see, we don't look at it like that. We don't see it like that. Then we ask God, well, God, why this and why that? Well, he asks you the same thing. Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? He said, then when I bless you, you still do what you want to do. You still lie. He said, but I already know what you're going to do before you do it. He made the heart. He know. He made the ear. He can hear. He know everything you're going to do before you even do it. He know you can tell him, well, God, I'm going to do this if you do that. Lord, if you fix this, Lord, I do that. He already know. You can't get nothing over God. He's just letting you see. He still will give you a chance. Just to let you know, I knew you was going to do it anyway, but I gave you a chance. So you couldn't get up there and say, well, God, you didn't even give me a chance. I was going to do this, God, but you didn't even let me. You didn't even answer my prayer for this. You didn't answer my prayer for that, but God already know. So God told me, he said, that's a direct order from him, is that we love one another. He said, and you know, we have to love to fulfill the whole law of God is to love. Because love sets no boundaries. Love has a multitude of faults. Love don't let you see the person's faults, but let it see the person's needs. Love ain't the type of love that if you don't love me, I don't love you back. Love is the one that don't act out of its character. It don't act unseemly. Love loves at all times. It don't change. It don't parade itself. You know, that means, oh, look what I did. I gave him $1,000, wanted everybody to see what you did. See, that's not love when you're showing everybody and telling everybody. You're getting your glory. You already getting what you asking God for. See, that's how a lot of people, you know, God can't bless them like he wants to. Because, see, if you're doing it secret, I'll reward you open. Because you got to let everybody see what you're doing. So if you already got your reward from man, they're patting you on the back. And some of them telling you, well, I wouldn't do that. And that's why you're missing your blessing. Because you're listening to people that ain't right they sell. And you don't realize that people, when they tell you stuff like that, amen, and you know better than that, God's still going to deal with you. But I wouldn't do that if I was you. That's this, and I think that. That's not your thing for you to think, and it's what God says. It's what God says that you're supposed to do. It's not what man says you're supposed to do. It's God's word, and the word of God tells us what to do. He done told us. But we want to listen to man. And that's the reason why we ain't blessed. Because we listen to man. The Bible says it's better to obey God than man. The first thing we listen to man, I don't care if it's mama and grandma, grandpa, whatever, if they wrong and the word of God, it does not line up the word of God, you are not supposed to do it. See, that's how you know that you love God first. You love God first. For you to God first. I'd be like, yeah, I love you, Grandma. I love you, Mama. I love you, Daddy. But the Word of God told me this. The Word of God told me that. Stop trying to make other people happy and bless God. He said, you know what? He said, Paul said, well, if I please man, I'm not pleasing God. And when you please God, you're not going to please man. But the best thing is you're supposed to be a God pleaser, not a people pleaser, but a God pleaser. Because he's got the final judgment on your life. He's got the last say so over you. And the Bible says it's bad to be in the hands of an angry God. He says, if I be for you, who can be against you? You better listen to God, obey God, because when you obey God, the Bible says it brings forth blessings. When you disobey, it brings forth curses. Oh, yeah. Remember, they said in the Word of God, he said, though I speak with the tongue of angels, and he said, I can prophesy. I have the earnest, the best gift. He said, but if I have not charity in my heart, it prompted me nothing. You still got to have love. That's just like a person with $1 million and a person with a dollar. The person that got the dollar would be the one blessed because the person with $1 million is murmuring and complaining, talking about what they done and listening to people telling them not to do this, not to do that. But the one with dollars, the one going to be blessed because he gave from his heart. He gave everything that he had. And a lot of times people try to use that widow mite, two pennies. Well, I don't like the woman with the widow mite. No, that was all she had. The Bible says, it didn't say nothing about she had none in the bank. It didn't say she had none hidden. She didn't have no savings. That was all she had. And see, we try to mix that up. No. That's why she was blessed more than anybody, because she gave everything she had. She didn't hide nothing from God. She didn't have nothing hidden in no bank. She didn't have nobody holding nothing for her, and she didn't have nothing hidden. And that's the way God wants to be. And nothing shouldn't be hidden. Your life's supposed to be hidden with Christ. But we hide things from God. We think we are. But remember, God said he neither slumbers nor sleeps. And when you love God, that means you're sold out to God. Everything is sold out. Your life, even the love for things that you loved, you got to love them more. He said you can't serve God and mammon too. You got to love one and hate the other. I wish I could go on about love, because it's so old, you can go on about love, but our time has expired. I want to thank God, amen, for those who are listening. Well, remember Tuesday night Bible study at 7:15. Our Sunday morning Sunday school is 10 a.m., worship 11 a.m. I will be speaking tomorrow in Statesville at 3 p.m. at Apostle T. Ross Young's Church and Minnie Young's Church, amen. Save Freedom and Deliverance tomorrow at 3 p.m. We ask y'all to come out. Amen. We have more blessings. Amen. Also, the 21st, I'll be speaking at Pastor Shirley Lane's anniversary. The 23rd, I'll be speaking at Prophetess Low anniversary in Statesville, North Carolina. Amen. Where the overseer, amen, is Virginia Byers. Amen. And Joe Byers. Amen. We're thanking God for them. Amen. And also, we'll have our fourth Sunday. Amen. Family and friends day, we ask you to come out. Amen. Glory be to God. And we just want to thank you. Amen. Now, remember, Father, in the name of Jesus, we praise you right now for the word. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Father, we ask you, Lord Jesus, let us hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. Let us be of one mind. Let us be of one heart. Let us be of one spirit through you all and in you all. And Father, we thank you for the word, Lord Jesus, that have been given to us, Father. Father, let it increase our faith even more, Lord Jesus. Oh, Father God, let us be doers of the word as well as hearers of the word. And Father, I want to thank you, Lord Jesus, that this has ministered to someone, Father, that they will take that word, Father, and engraft it upon their hearts, Father, and be obedient, Father. Father, that you may raise them up, Father, to be one of your chosen ones. Somebody's going to stand up and be counted for, God. Saint that won't take down, Father, but will rise up to the occasion of God. And God, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for many of the affliction of the righteous, but you said you would deliver us out of them all, Father. And Father, we know, Father, that you are our help, Father, in a very present time, Father, of trouble. And we thank you for all these things. Now cover us, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And remember, I love you, and you can't do nothing about it.